Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power and shine a light ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems instead of just defending positions. At a time when disinformation, misinformation, and missing information characterizes too much of the news, and trust in the media is at an all-time low, might it be time to access the wisdom of crowds? Our Wiki Politiki guest this week, Chase Palmieri, thinks so. He and his partner, Austin Walter, have founded a new platform, Credder, C-R-E-D-D-E-R, Credder, that they branded Rotten Tomatoes for the News. Credder, rooted obviously in the word credibility, allows readers to review articles for veracity and bias, and then post these reviews on the Credder site. Writers are also then rated on these criteria, and reviewers as well held accountable by their ratings. I'm quoting from the site now. Quote, "We believe news should compete for credibility, not clicks. Together on Credder's news review platform, we can hold media accountable and accelerate the news industry's transition from clicks to credibility. Credder works by allowing journalists and the public to review articles, creating credibility ratings for every article, author, and outlet. We believe this is the only way, without censoring content, to establish a clear incentive for quality and online news," unquote. Now, Chase Palmieri is the CEO and co-founder of the news site, review site, Credder.com. He is also co-host of the nonpartisan media watchdog Project Censored national radio show and podcast. He has a degree in entrepreneurship and small business management from Chico State University, and he and his father own RCBC Restaurant in Petaluma, California, winner of 12 straight Michelin Guide awards. His focus is on growing Credder and bringing their Rotten Tomatoes for News service to readers everywhere. Welcome, Chase.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Well, credible news. What an incredible idea. We like that. Let's start with you briefly describing what Credder is and how it works and how it might actually make a difference at a time characterized by fake news and real lies.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I would begin by just kind of explaining very, very roughly the problem that we're facing and trying to tackle, which is that when journalism moved online, it all of a sudden had to be held accountable to the advertising revenue models that kind of run online media today. And so when we saw this shift happening back in 2015, we saw that there was going to be this kind of race to the bottom for journalism, where journalists and outlets were going to have to start trying to go after clicks and likes and shares and all these vanity metrics, and that was ultimately going to hurt the quality of the news we were getting, and therefore the quality of the information we have as a public. And so we were thinking about how do we solve this problem, and as you mentioned, I'm the co-host of Project Censored, so obviously We wanted to do it in a way that didn't censor content. And so what we came up with was, well, one other thing happened when we moved news gathering online, which is that now everybody reading the news can be connected and working together. Whereas before, you know, you might read your newspaper alone in a coffee shop. And so we started playing with this idea of a Rotten Tomatoes for news, where the journalists can review articles under one category and the public under another, and with the idea being that we can hold media accountable, but also surface the most, you know, high quality piece of news on any subject and make the news gathering experience faster and better for readers.
Wow. Well, that definitely sounds like a great need, particularly as you talked about the race to the bottom, where it's just a bunch of clickbait and, you know, people get pulled into these things and what used to be called the news really suffers. How did you come up with this particular idea? I understand the idea hatched while you were handling Yelp for the family restaurant.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So after I graduated with my degree in entrepreneurship, I came back home to help run the family business, which is our restaurant, Reezy Beezy. And in the meantime, I was just kind of playing with concepts and problems that I wanted to solve in society, waiting for the right idea to kind of strike so that my team and I could try and go and solve the big problem that we saw out there in the world. And while I was kind of seeing this shift happen with journalism moving online, I was also responding to Yelp reviews on a daily basis on behalf of our restaurant. And I'd watched as Yelp came into the restaurant space and really changed the staff and restaurant owners' behaviors over a 13-year window since we opened our restaurant. And so I saw how the accountability in the restaurant space made our behavior better, and it also allowed a new way to drive traffic to restaurants, which was based on these kind of reputation ratings. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm frustrated with the news today, yet all I can do when I come across a clickbaity or sensational piece of news is click the X button and leave the page, and I've done nothing to hold the media accountable or help out my next reader so that maybe they don't have to waste their time reading this article. And so what we began doing is kind of looking to see if a Rotten Tomatoes for News or Yelp for News Consumers concept existed. And when we couldn't find anyone that was doing it or let alone talking about it, we decided that maybe we should just start building it ourselves.
That sounds like a great idea. You didn't know that it couldn't be done, so you went ahead and did it. That's a really great idea. How did you develop your rating system? How do you rate articles, and then how do reviewers get rated as well?
Yeah. So the first year that we were living in this apartment together, me and my co-founders, we thought of Predator more as an experiment than a company. And the experiment was, is there a way to review the news that you can do in three clicks or less and will make sense to somebody who has never been, you know, is not already familiar with how the review process works? So can you create a review process for news? And the other question was, well, what are you reviewing? Are you reviewing the article or the author or the outlet? And so during that year or so of experimentation, working closely with Mickey Huff of Project Censored and other media literacy professors, we were able to come up with a review process where you could, in three clicks or less, leave very specific feedback on the article for the next reader and obviously for the author and outlet to see. And so the way that review process works is, step one is the kind of stars rating that people are familiar with. But what you're reviewing with the stars is your overall level of trust in that article. You're only ever reviewing the article. And what we do with our technology on our back end is we'll aggregate those article reviews into aggregate ratings for the authors and outlets. But what you're actually doing is only ever reviewing an article, a piece of content. So first you identify your overall level of trust, and then you have to select a reason, a specific reason for why you gave it the level of trust you did. And this is kind of where the media literacy comes in, the training of that comes into the review process. And so we kind of hold your hand and show you different options for why you might have lost or gained trust in the article. So there's some positive review reasons, such as investigative, balanced, well-researched, well-sourced, and then there's some negative reasons with catch-all categories. So, for example, if it was illogical or you found an illogical argument, you can actually pick out the specific logical fallacy that you found. Or if there was a bias, you can pick out the specific bias, like a racial bias or a national bias. And those are what you – that's what you do is you have to tag a specific reason for your rating to the article, and then you can leave a written comment where you elaborate even more on why you rated it the way you did. And then what you mentioned is that, yes, on our platform, the reviewers themselves are held accountable as well. And the way that works is that anybody who sees your review can vote whether it was a helpful or not helpful review. And over time, that creates an aggregate score for the reviewers themselves, which is featured next to all of their reviews across the site, so that you, the news consumer, can know, you know, which reviewers are like quality, good participants in the system, which ones are worth reading their reviews, and that creates the accountability for the reviewers themselves.
Yeah, so both of them are being reviewed. And what's really important, this is really key, which I love about the site, is that in the process, you're teaching media literacy. You're educating people as to what to look for in bias, what to look for in accuracy, what to look for in the overall feel of an article, whether it's just basically generalities or whether there's specific evidence. So, you know, you, based on your experience with Project Censored, et cetera, you're actually conducting an experiment in education as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we get contacted by media literacy and journalism professors all the time who, you know, ask about using Predator as part of their curriculum. They get excited when they see that they can actually give their students something that's kind of a real-world application instead of all the media literacy theory, something that they can take with them even when the class is over, and something that will actually walk them through how to break down the quality of a piece of content, you know, every time right there next to the article. And as you mentioned, we have our Predator.com website, but we also have other products that you can kind of take with you on the go to really protect yourself and be able to review content from anywhere on the web.
You know, this is really interesting in terms of the education piece, because I'm just curious as to where you get your reviewers from. Who comes to review? What is the age range? Are they young people, old people, left, right? Do you find that you're getting – what kind of representation are you getting in terms of the reviewers who are coming to make comments?
Yeah, that's a great question. And obviously, it was very important to us in the very early days to make sure that the foundation of reviewers were a mix of both ages and demographics and locations and especially kind of political leanings. So we reach out to a lot of different groups and organizations, but right now we do zero paid marketing. So a lot of when you hear about us is from either me on a podcast or radio program such as this, or in a press piece because we're announcing that certain authors or outlets have received ratings and, you know, here they are. So mostly the attention and user base we get are actual news consumers because they're reading articles in the journalism community that is talking about Predator. So we have a pretty good mix, especially right versus left. I think you can look at just about any article and see that there are different kind of political leanings on the site, but you'll also see how our review process kind of teases that out of their review and forces them to get very specific on what they found wrong with it so that they can't just kind of resort to a, I don't agree with this, or, oh, I agree with this kind of review.
You know, what's really interesting is that this is cultivating, has a potential to cultivate what's really been missing, which is a real conversation between the two sides rather than these lobbing firebombs at straw men, which is how a lot of these conversations end up on social media, where basically you hit send And it's like you sent a bomb that you're going to be dropping, you know, 1,000 miles away, and you don't see the result of it. So this is a true mutual education process. Something else that I've noticed is that, you know, because of your background in entrepreneurship, you've actually created a business out of this. So say something about the process of creating the business and funding this enterprise and where you might be right now.
Yeah. So first, I guess I'll mention the business model. But to do that, I kind of have to first mention our theory or our thesis on where news is going. And mm-hmm. so the way we see the shift in news playing out is that as of right now, authors, journalists, they only receive credit with a black and white byline on the articles. And so they'll work for an outlet for 2 years, help with their hard work, build up the reputation of that outlet, and then maybe they move from one outlet to the next, and now they've done nothing to kind of maintain their audience or capture the trust and reputation that they were able to create. And so mm-hmm. what's interesting about the fact that Kreder is creating these aggregate scores for the authors is that the authors themselves can actually become their own brands. They can, you know, author so-and-so can now be on a level playing field with the New York Times. And so our revenue model for the, what we see as kind of the future way that news will be funded is in direct audience support models, something similar to a Patreon model. So on those author and outlet pages, anybody will be able to give a one-time or monthly recurring tip to that author outlet, and they will be able to be sustained directly from their audience. And because of their reputation score and rating, they'll be able to signal to new readers that they are a trusted brand and that they maybe don't even have to work for outlets anymore. And this is especially important as we see now, anybody can produce content online. And so in a world where anybody can hit publish, it becomes even more important to kind of keep track of the reputations of these people. But it also becomes important to give these people a way to be supported directly from their audiences.
Good. We're going to be back after this short break. We'll talk more with Chase Palmieri about Kreder and talk about how journalism can reemerge as a noble profession. Steve Berman, WikiPolitiki, back after this message.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what's your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Now, this is Steve Berman, and we're talking with our guest, Chase Palmieri, about Kreder, a new and quite radical way for we the people to actually vet news and our journalists. You know, one of the biggest issues to emerge recently is the issue of confirmation bias, which is a euphemism for people's willingness to just believe information that confirms what they already believe, making certain minds fact resistant. Now, I think that, you know, you're certainly dealing with, you know, bringing open-minded people together to kind of figure out the likeliest story, perhaps. But how do you deal, does Critter deal with this issue, and how do we deal with this issue as a society?
Yeah, that's a great question. And at the top of the program, you mentioned how the left-wing media and the right-wing media often lob insults or straw man attacks at each other. And so what news consumers today are getting is they're kind of sitting inside of a silo and just hearing what they tend to already agree with. And so that's where Credor actually comes into play, is because no matter your political side, you have to come here and give a well-reasoned response as to why a piece of news was credible or not credible. And so we actually see our reviews and our rating pages as a place where the left can actually see how right-wingers are responding to certain content, and the right can see how a left-winger is framing their argument. And so instead of it being these kind of straw man attacks on both sides, you can actually read somebody's review and actually maybe even have your mind changed by what you're seeing.
Have you noticed that there's certain reviewers that have jumped right on it? Do you have people that you're considering, like perhaps your most reliable reviewers, perhaps on both sides, who are getting the steady reputation that moves them up the pop charts?
Yeah, we have some very active reviewers, many of whom are at above a 95% rating for their reviewer rating, and some of whom review upwards of 12 articles per day. So this is kind of like the perfect tool for your average news junkie who's already going to be reading a lot of news. And if there's somebody that reads a lot of news, they probably have gotten good at breaking down what makes a good piece of news and what doesn't. And again, our review process will hold your hand through that if you don't. But a lot of these people, these readers, kind of are already news critics. But the thing about media literacy is it's best used when it's shared and others can benefit from your take. And right now, that's until Credor, that was totally impossible.
Yeah, I think that it is really a mutual education site. Have you now, of course, you know, you've been associated with Project Censored and what they have focused on over the past 20-something years since I've been following them, has been essentially articles that are intentionally not covered by mainstream news. Are you finding that people are reviewing articles and that are outside of that mainstream news, or are these mainly things inside the mainstream news bubble?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. The majority of reads and clicks and views still go to those kind of top 20 or so news outlets. So just by that nature, you're going to have a few of more of those articles and a few more of those readers and reviews on the site, which is also good because it means that we're getting more ratings and more accurate ratings for all these mainstream news sites. But the advantage of Credor, and we're seeing this as well, is that people are reading and reviewing these small independent outlets that, you know, in many cases nobody else has ever heard of before. And if they're creating great work, they're actually getting high ratings, and then they can show up on our leaderboard, which we have for authors and outlets. They get these high marks and high ratings that leads to more users on Credor clicking over to read those pieces that they might not otherwise have ever heard of. And so that's actually the goal, is to kind of create a level playing field for these smaller independent outlets, where even an outlet that only has one or two journalists can compete against the New York Times for traffic, because now traffic is being driven by Credor ratings, not just by the New York Times pump.
Now, Along those lines, do you find that there are certain news stories that have kind of made it? Well, let me put it this way: how do news articles get onto Credr? How do they get reviewed? How do these articles show up?
Yeah, so anybody can post any article to Credr, and that is actually one of the advantages that Credr has in the media landscape, is that we aren't going to be censoring any content, because our philosophy is that even the worst content should live on Credr so that it can get rated, and so that we can display that what we call our gold versus mold ratings, so we can display that mold rating. So it's very similar to Rotten Tomatoes, where you would still expect to see Paul Blart Mall Cop 3 show up on Rotten Tomatoes, because you need to have a rating page for it so that people can know to maybe spend their time on a different movie.
Right. Now, this is really excellent, because in a certain regard, one of the things that's kept quote-unquote conspiracy theories, and we all know that there's always a kernel of truth to some of them, and certain ones, of course, are very true and have been suppressed. But one of the things that have kept a lot of these things alive is simply the repression of it, and that somehow if this is a repressed story, it must be true. And so what you're doing is you're bringing all of these things out into the open for scrutiny. I think I saw something on Critter. I'm not sure where I saw it, but it had to do with the Seth Rich case. You remember that piece?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the particular article, but yeah, I remember the story.
Yeah, tell what happened with that. I mean, how did that play out? I'm sure that there are people who, who said, "Oh, he was the stories that he was murdered by the DNC, whatever." And how did that play out? How did you check for bias and so on in that issue? Do you remember?
Yeah. So just to be clear, Credr is not a fact checker. We're simply a platform where the news readers can review content themselves and see how all of that comes into a transparent rating, everything visible. Mm-hmm. So if I remember correctly, there are a few articles about that on the site. I'm not exactly sure how any particular article fared, but yeah, Credr is not a fact checker. We don't look at individual stories. We're simply kind of the means for everyone else to work together.
That's a very good distinction. Very, very good distinction. So essentially, you're using the wisdom of the crowd to kind of get a general feel about the story. And I'm sure that there are people who are individually in their reviews are going to be checking the accuracy of the story as well, right?
Right, and that's exactly right. And the better that person's review is, meaning the more they've really dug into that article or pull up other supporting links and sources, the better that one person's review is. Obviously, there's an advantage to them because now they're getting a better reviewer rating from the community. But we also rank the reviews based on the number of helpful votes that they get. So if that review gets a ton of helpful votes, it's going to be at the very top of that article page and is going to get the most reads. And so that's kind of how we want it to work, is that even if you only read one review on an article before you dive in, you're going to get that best review. What the community is saying is like, oh, this is a really good review on this article.
Now, of course, Amazon has a system for reviewing articles. And yet, I just had this happen with an associate of mine. They got the review rejected for unspecified reasons. I'm taking it that that doesn't happen with Credr, that anything that anybody posts stays up there.
Yeah, anything that anybody posts stays up there, except for direct calls to violence or threats against other users. So basically within the First Amendment laws, unless you're, doing a direct call of violence against somebody, that review is going to stay up. And if it's a bad review, it's going to be pushed way down just by the nature of how we sort the reviews based on helpful to not helpful upvotes. So yeah, if that person's review is not helpful, it's going to be reflected instantly in the position of their review and their reviewer rating.
Excellent, excellent. There's something that you mentioned earlier that I want to pick up on because I think it's a really important key, and that is a business model for actually supporting journalists. And you mentioned Patreon. In fact, this radio show that people are listening to is partly supported by Patreon patrons who kick in anywhere from $2 to $100 a month to help support this venture. Tell us about how this could work for journalists and the kind of platform that you're looking at.
Yeah, so for our personal revenue model, we would be taking a transaction fee for how we are kind of serving as the middleman between audiences who want to support a journalist or outlet. And so we just take our little transaction fee and the rest goes directly to the journalist and outlet. Now, what's different about what you are all doing with Patreon is that you guys have actively set up a Patreon page. You guys mm-hmm. have decided that this is going to be one of the ways you support yourselves. Whereas with Creditor, the second an article gets posted to our site, our technology on our back end finds that author and finds that outlet and creates it's an early rating page for that author or outlet. So what that means is that you can actually tip authors and outlets on Creditor without them even opting into it. And this is actually on purpose. And the reason is that we see a lot of journalists who feel like it's somewhat below them to ask for audiences to support them. They think that it's, I don't know if it's maybe kind of an ego thing or a pride thing, but it feels a little bit below some journalists to ask for that direct support. Whereas we believe that this is where the future of news is going and that it's actually a fantastic thing if your audience is willing to support you directly, because then it gives you a lot more leverage and freedom in the stories you choose to cover and the reporting you do. So that's the way it works is any author and outlet page, you'll be able to create that tip, but the same will eventually even apply to the reviewers themselves. So we talked about like, oh, there's some reviewers reviewing 12 articles a day with above a 95% reviewer rating. Well, you might eventually be able to tip those reviewers as well, and with the goal that being that Creditor actually makes it financially rewarding to be a news critic on the site.
Yeah, that's really excellent, and I understand the reluctance to do that. I remember when journalists used to be paid. I used to be paid for what I do, and what I decided was that I was willing, and this is how the model Patreon works, and perhaps the way your model will work in some ways, is that I'm willing to make my content available for free. I want as many people as possible to be able to access it. And so in exchange for that, those people who can support to the tune of $2 or $4 or $10 or even $100, I have $100 supporters as well, that they're doing that so that this news can be freely distributed, people can listen, and there's not a toll booth to get the information. And I think eventually this is going to be a very, very powerful model for the future. So I appreciate that you're already doing this. And I like the term, I never heard the term tips as it applies to Patreon, but I guess that's what it is. It's a way for people to throw money in the coffers to support people whose work that they appreciate.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You can call it a tip or a donation. Patreon calls their supporters patrons. But yeah, that's the idea. That's what we think the future of the media landscape is going to have to go to, because if not, we're going to be forever chasing clicks.
Yes. Now, you've had investors. Tell us about that and how you plan to grow this enterprise over the next period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that first year that I talked about at the top of the program, where we were living in an apartment and it was more of an experiment than a business, we were trying to prove out a few assumptions, really. One, will people review the news? Two, will they know how to do it on their first experience with it? Three, will it produce ratings that are accurate? And four, can we attribute those article ratings to the authors and outlets using some kind of technology that scrapes that information together? And so that was like, those were kind of the four boxes we needed to check before we would even call ourselves a business. But after about a year, year and a half, and believe me, that took longer than we thought it would, we felt like we had really proven out those assumptions. And so what I did is I ended up cold emailing my way into a relationship with the founder of Rotten Tomatoes. His name's Patrick Lee. And he and I became friends, and he became one of the first advisors in our company. And later on, some other people in Silicon Valley started to understand this problem and started to see that, yeah, the solution is ultimately going to have to look like a media rating site. And so they actually reached out to Patrick Lee and said, hey, bud, do you want to build the Rotten Tomatoes for news? And he was able to immediately then turn around and say, actually, I'm working with a team that has already done that. They're young and they're passionate and hungry. So why don't I put you in touch with them? And then based on those introductions, we ended up raising our angel round, and we're featured in TechCrunch based on that angel round. We've since opened up and raised a bridge round as well. And this money has been used to kind of the creation of the various products that we need to succeed and create kind of a frictionless experience for the readers. Mm-hmm. But now the way that we want to grow in 2020 is we're looking at this very specific moment in time where Congress and the media are all looking at these big third-party platforms, the Facebook, Twitters, Googles of the world, and they're all saying, what are you guys doing about the news on your site? What are you guys doing to protect readers? And none of these platforms really want to be in the censorship game or the fact-checking game. A lot of them already defer to third parties like Snopes and PolitiFact. But the problem with those fact checkers is they can only fact check one to two articles a day. So, and by the time they do, that news has already spread far and wide. So it's really not a scalable solution at the scale that these platforms operate at. And so the way we want to grow in 2020, and this is actually also our second business model, is to license creditor ratings to these third-party platforms so that they can feature the rating information next to the content on their own site.
Wow, what a great idea. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with Chase Palmieri and talking about Creditor. This is Steve Behrman on WikiPolitiki.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
We're back on WikiPolitiki with our guest, Chase Palmieri, and talking about Credr. And I want to pick up on this. This is a really excellent, excellent business model for these times, and that is making the ratings available to the news site so that the rating can come right with the article. Just say a little more about that.
Yeah. So the idea is it's a simple licensing model. It's kind of what Rotten Tomatoes did back in the day. If you remember looking at early iTunes, you would see a Rotten Tomatoes score next to the movies. And it just helps the person on that platform, you know, make their decision. And that's the kind of the same concept here, is that although Credr is a news rating site and we have our own news that you can get on our site, and we would eventually love for everyone to just come straight to Credr to get their news, one of the pieces of value that we have to offer the landscape that nobody else has right now are these ratings. And so to be able to solve these big problems for all these big platforms in a way that also grows Credr's awareness and possibly our profit and funds our continued work, that is kind of the dream come true. And the timing leading into this general election in 2020 is all kind of perfect for Credr as the market leader in news reviews to really license the ratings to all these platforms. And they don't necessarily need to be the Googles and Facebooks and Twitters. It would be great if we could land such big partners. But this also applies to just other news aggregators. You know, any smaller news site that aggregates articles together, they would be able to use our widget to display the rating information right there, overlaid on the content that their readers are already looking at, with the idea being just that they can make the news gathering experience even more enjoyable and trustworthy for the readers on their platform.
Now, obviously, people are going to come to Credr, as you talked about, perhaps having Credr being the primary news site. Are you planning to have any kind of advertising or sponsorship on Credr?
We might eventually do some sponsorship. We're thinking about playing with kind of an affiliate model, if you will, so that the platforms, the outlets that are trying to actively build their subscriber bases, maybe we add a link on some of our pages that say, you know, you can subscribe to the New York Times right now, possibly even offering our users some kind of a discount code. So there's ways that we can do that. But for now, we're really focused on just proving out the tipping model case. And again, the bigger the user base, the more those tips are going to become meaningful, not just for us, but for the journalists and outlets. And then proving out this licensing model, because our focus has been unpaid growth. We don't really believe in some of the activities that today's Silicon Valley are doing, which is kind of create artificial growth through paid advertising and then kind of use that artificial growth to go raise another chunk of money, and then you do even more artificial growth. What we're really trying to do is build a sustainable business here with by getting reach in an unpaid way. And there's two ways to do that for us. One is the licensing model, and then the other is actually through search engine results. So we have every single article, author, and outlet has this kind of IMDb style rating page. And so we actually are just now, 2 weeks ago, starting to show up in top of search results for a lot of these different authors and outlets with their rating information displayed right there in the search result. And this is great because this is going to change the culture in news, where now if you get your name Googled, be careful because your Credr rating page might be one of those top search results. So you're going to have to start paying attention.
What I really like about this, and again, you know, there's so many nonprofits that are out there, but a venture like this that can be financially generative and still have integrity. And as you say, licensing is one way. Transactions to help support getting a small transactions fee in helping to support journalists is another one. Perhaps an affiliate level where you actually have, you know, get a small portion of the subscriberships that you express, you send people to. I think that that's really very excellent that you're thinking in terms of how you can generate a profit and keep this thing going as an independent entity. So I think that's really excellent. What, until now, what's been the biggest challenge for Creditor, and how have you dealt with that challenge?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say the biggest challenge has been growth, and it's because we're unwilling to pay for our growth. So it hurts us in the short term, but it ultimately is creating kind of the foundation up approach to the business. So just 2 weeks ago, we began seeing our search engine results showing up the way we want, where these pages are going to become much more visible to the public, a lot more impressions and clicks coming through to Creditor. At first, they might just be curious, like, oh, what is this? An author has a rating, or oh, an outlet has a rating. But over time, people are going to get used to seeing these Creditor ratings high up in the search results. So that's one thing that is finally paying off for us. I'd say that's really the gist of it, is how do we grow without paying for it? Because that's just not the type of growth model that we really believe in.
And obviously you have investors who are with you on this. So that sounds really good. What is the most surprising thing that you've learned as you've set up this platform? What surprised you the most?
You know, I've been asked this question before, and my answer sometimes changes. But the real answer, the reason it changes is because the real answer is kind of, it sounds self-promotional. So I guess bear with me, but this is the truth. This is what we've learned from our platform, which is that once somebody reads the news and reviews an article on Creditor, something changes where they can't really go back to reading the news the same way anymore. So they might leave Creditor and not think about us again for 2 weeks, but then they read an article and it is full of logical fallacies, or it's incredibly biased, or for whatever reason the article is not credible. They have this weird reaction where now it's become kind of a habitual thing where they want to review the article. They want to hold it accountable, and they can't just click the exit button anymore. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit well with them anymore. And so what they end up doing is, that's a lot of times when a user comes back to our site, is they come to post that article so that they can review it. And so the really surprising thing here is that once you've really tried this, it kind of sits with you, and you can't really go back to reading bad news and doing nothing about it anymore.
You know, that's really an excellent development, because it means that the education process is continuing. And you know, you would probably agree that in mainstream media, and because of and online certainly, there's been kind of a stupidization program going on, where people are really encouraged to not think and simply go along with whichever crowd they are hanging with. And so you're bringing people out from under the silos. You're bringing people out of the trenches and emerging into some kind of common narrative. Given what's going on with politics these days, what's your sense of, you know, what's your best idea of where things might be going, and you know, what's your worst concern?
In reference to Creditor or just the political landscape as a whole?
In reference to the political landscape, because really, I mean, I guess you call yourself political landscapers. You know, helping to cultivate something.
Yeah. So one of the big changes that is happening in politics that doesn't get discussed enough, and I'm not endorsing any political candidate right now or anything, but definitely something new to the political process, is what is happening with Bernie Sanders, where he is a 100% kind of donation supported campaign, where he is not taking any super PAC money. And so what we see is that that is a trend that is going to become more and more common across more and more industries on the online world. So if there's a cause or something you want to support, the audience will support it directly so that they can whoever you're supporting can continue to represent you. And this is, again, what we're kind of doing with our tipping model. And we see the Bernie Sanders campaign as kind of proof on the largest stage that you can do this. You can be supported directly by people that want to see your work continue. So as far as the political landscape, that is the change that we think is actually the most noteworthy in 2020, but probably gets talked about the least.
Well, you know, that's actually, again, an extension of the crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, cultivating the wisdom of the crowds. And I think eventually, because we do have the technology to make it available, is that we will actually go to a system where the public will have a lot more to say very, very quickly about what they support, as public opinion gets aggregated independent of public opinion polls through independent organizations like proposed National Town Square that our colleague Richard Lang has been working on, where everybody would have a verifiable, authenticated voice and vote on all the issues. And so when 150 or 200 million Americans are on that platform, we will be able to speak resoundingly as a crowd on various issues that will obviously have impact, that because we're not right now able to speak with that kind of authority collectively. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point, and it actually brings up one other kind of aspect of the political landscape that is changing that's worth paying attention to, which is in many ways Trump won because he had this very fervent, very supportive online user base. So many people on social media that were out there supporting him as compared to the other Republican candidates. And at the time, the mainstream media was pointing at that as a bad thing, like, oh, look at these angry supporters and they're attacking other candidates and they can be mean online. But really, what that was is it was showing that he had the most organic followers that were passionate about him in that election period, and that online voices do eventually translate into votes. And we're actually seeing the same kind of thing happen with the Bernie Bros narrative right now, which is, oh, and Bernie Sanders he's in trouble because he can't control his online followers, and they're very passionate, and there's so many of them. But what the mainstream media isn't realizing is that online voices, you know, apart from, you know, the bots that are just artificial accounts, but that's really not as big a deal as many people make it out to be. But apart from that, all those online voices are going to be real voters come voting day. So what we see is that this kind of looking down upon the masses of online support is actually it's actually kind of delusional, because we think that for any political candidate to win in the future going forward, they're going to have a passionate group of users online that are helping get their message out. That's just going to be part of politics going forward.
You know, interestingly, Trump said very recently that he is much more concerned about Sanders than Bloomberg, because Sanders has real supporters and fervent supporters on the ground. And he recognizes that that aspect of the campaign that was similar to his, because if you think about it, all of the neocon candidates fell by the wayside. You know, Jeb Bush, poor Jeb Bush. Nobody cared about him. And the voters kept insisting on Trump. And now the voters, more of them, are insisting on a candidate that represents real change. And Bernie Sanders has been building a movement outside the mainstream for quite a while. Well, we just got a few more minutes left. Is there anything else that you wanted to add I want to let the listeners know that on the Wiki Politiki website, on the page with the replay of this, which will be available within a day or so, we'll have a link to the Creditor site. And I really, really encourage people to do what I do, go on there, poke around, begin to look at articles. I haven't actually reviewed any yet, but I'm kind of feeling my way around the site. And get on their list and become part of this, in a way, a new institution of society. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, thank you. I guess what if I was going to kind of give the listeners a call to action, I would say that if you can go to creditor.com, creditor.com, there's many different ways that you can choose to engage with Creditor. So, for example, we have our creditor.com site, which is essentially a really nice, clean news aggregator with the ratings of the articles, authors, and outlets overlaid on the content. So it's like what we think is ultimately going to be a really great, if not the ideal, use case for how to get your news. But there's also the extension, which you can download once and take Creditor ratings with you anywhere you go online.
Fabulous, fabulous. I really enjoyed our conversation today, Chase Palmieri, and I look forward to seeing Creditor grow and become a huge phenomenon. This is Steve Behrman. We're on Wiki Politiki, and we'll be back with you next week.